Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Oh, boy. What a show I have for you today. There's no way I can cover everything. No way. So we're going to focus on a couple of big topics. Number one, and I'm going to get more into this next week, we're going to delve further and further into Bill Gates, all his tentacles, all his connections. Today, we're going to talk about Dr. Fauci, and we talked about it last week, but this let me tell you, when you see the interconnection of this cabal, this globalist cabal, and what they're doing, you will be shocked. I'll just leave it at that. You will be shocked. Now, and I'm actually going to play it from a researcher. I'm not even going to tell it to you. You can listen to it for yourself. It's about 4 minutes long. We're going to talk about all the things that various folks, virtually all of them, 99.9% of them, Democratic communists, whether they are governors or whether they are senators or whether they are congressmen, what they are doing to undermine the Constitution, undermine your rights, and increase their power and control, and in a tangential sense, to influence the election that's coming up. Make no mistake about it. The Democrats do not want to open up this country. The deep state does not want to open up this country. The Fauci cabal, along with Bill Gates, does not want to open up this country. And the more I get into this, folks, the more I am convinced that we should have never shut down. We're going to be talking about that today also. And then I'm going to give you some examples of the games that are being played out there. And, you know, I could go on for a day, but I'm just going to pick out some of the highlights. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, I have always told you that Barry Obama, our buddy Barry, the gift that keeps on giving, was the most corrupt, the most anti-American, radical Islamist, communist. The guy is just unbelievable. And what's coming out now about what happened with General Flynn, which I kind of intimated at the time he got here, it is, and it's, folks, it's way worse than I thought. I mean, it's like friggin' unbelievable. We're going to go over that a little bit. We're going to go over what that means and probably what the ramifications of it are. All this stuff that we're going to talk about, and by the way, we're going to be talking about China too, because some new things have emerged about China. You know, last week's show was there are no coincidences. Well, I'm going to give you a whole bunch more dots on why there are no coincidences concerning China. Next week, we're going to talk about the likelihood of a war with China and what might happen if we had a war with China. And look, it's a given that we are going to have a major conflict with China ideologically, politically, and economically. That's a given. Whether it moves to the shooting phase, we don't know. I've given you a lot of data points since the February 22nd show, when I read that speech by the third in command of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, to all the military brass. There's many things that seem to point toward a potential conflict with China. And I don't mean just the conflict of two bulls butting heads on all those other levels. I'm talking about, you know, bullets type thing. We shall see. I personally think, by the way, as an aside, that one of the reasons Trump is no longer doing these 90-minute, two-hour, whatever, press conferences every day. I mean, I think he got sick of the press. I think that he heeded the advice of some of his advisors saying less is more. But I really think that his time, he does not have the time to do it anymore, because I think they are watching the Chinese situation and the Iranian situation, and to a lesser degree, the Russian situation, because that's the axis. I think they are watching it like hawks, like by the second, by the minute. And I think it is that that dangerous a time. I've given you the bullet points of all the brass being moved inside Cheyenne Mountain and, you know, the carrier groups out there, etc. I'm not going to review that. But, you know, this is the posture of a country putting itself in the position to play defense and offense. I'm talking about the United States. So, I'll tell you what. Because what's really happening around us is change, rapid change, change in our lifestyles, attempted changes in our freedoms, civil liberties, and rights, attempted changes in the way government functions in our lives, attempted changes in terms of vaccines and chips and, you know, all the scary, the Orwellian stuff, which I've talked about in the past. This is about change. So our historical story today is going to be right along those lines. It's a great example of how you can have the best idea in the world, and if you don't think it through or you're not aware of what's on the horizon, you can get blindsided and be toast. And, you know, part of my job here is to make sure you're not blindsided and to make sure that you and me and we and this country is not toast. So I'll tell you what, without further ado, let's get going. So this is April 3rd, 1860. And there was a bunch of entrepreneurs that got together. They were in the, shall we say, telecommunications business back in those days, such that it was. And the nation had expanded now. There was a burgeoning population in California because of the gold rush. both oceans, America was thriving. And these guys knew, to their credit, that communication was the key to both thriving and continuing to thrive and expansion of the country. So it was on that day, April 3rd, 1860, that the first Pony Express rider left St. Joseph, Missouri. And that was the first leg of his trip on a 1966, think about that, 1,966-mile route to Sacramento, California. You endurance riders out there who listen to me, think about a 1,966-mile ride at a gallop. Yeah, that'll kind of put it in perspective for you. The cost, by the way, as an aside, was $5 for 1/2 ounce. Later on, to try and get more business, they cut that back to $1. In 10 days, the mail would arrive in the Golden State, which, by the way, amazed everybody. And listen, these guys were master promoters. They created this romantic image of a rider fighting off storms, Indians, various animals, while rushing your mail to you. And it was an instant hit. In fact, you know, it was kind of the depiction of pioneer life on a mass market scale, the first ever. And it was a smashing success. America bought it then, and they buy it now. In fact, as we all know, the Pony Express thrives to this day in movies and images retelling this epitome of American survival. You know, they're recruiting posters because they sent out posters to get riders. Even the recruiting posters smacked of romance and risk. Let me give you an example of one. Wanted: young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18. Must be expert riders willing to risk death daily. Orphans preferred. Unquote. I mean, brilliant. It's brilliant. Anyway, they sold the image like crazy. I mean, 150 years later, the image lives. But they did not see changes coming. They did not understand how rapidly changes can occur. And although most people don't know this, here's kind of the catch of the story. The company lasted 18 months. That's it. The Pony Express was in existence for 18 months. That was it. Out of our 200, almost 40-year history. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So, anyway, what they missed in their calculations, folks, was the telegraph. They weren't following it. They weren't catching it. They didn't see all the telltale signs. And they got swept away. Think about that as I talk to you today. Now, let's get started. First of all, let's talk about what's happening on the information level. The media, as you know, is all in on the death and destruction of this virus. It's all in on keeping everything shut down. Wearing masks, because, you know, that's a nice visible symbol of the virus, so that you're always reminded that there's some horrible, mysterious death lurking right around the corner that only the government can save you from. So we know the media is toast, okay? I mean, we know that. And then, of course, they're trying to use this as a political weapon for the election, not only by keeping things shut down so the economy is a mess, which was Trump's strongest suit, but also by attacking Trump. He doesn't know what he was doing. He was a delay. I'm going to talk a little bit later here in just a few minutes about how this is all linking in with Chinese propaganda. I mean, these people are pathetic. Pathetic. Oh, if they're successful, I hope they know how to speak Mandarin, because they're going to need to as they're marched off to the gulag. Then we have communications in social media and on the internet. And the big tech giants, folks, how much money are they making in this situation? Right? Everybody, well, not everybody, virtually everybody is at home. Everybody's on the internet. Everybody's reading this, reading that, reading this, and buying stuff online. I mean, the tech giants are making a bundle off of this thing. And they'd make another bundle if, like Google, got to do in the United States what they did in China for the Chinese Communist Party, which was more or less, they didn't chip everybody, but they chipped everybody's phones. I've given you the whole nine yards on that. I think five or six. Put in, if you type in cell phones in the search bar, that show will come up. The Chinese Communist Party knows where everybody is, what they're spending, what they're doing. The phone, you know, there's virtually no paper currency. It's all digital currency, which is one of the aims of the New World Order, the globalists out there, which all the people, I might add, all the people who are globalists want everything shut down. They want it shut down globally for as long as possible, until people are so needy and so starving and so desperate that they'll agree to anything. Now, mark my words, this is what's going on. And then, of course, we have the governors in the state. This is the government communicating to the people, talking about how death-defying and how we have to save lives, and everything is about your safety, and yada, yada, yada. Remember Jefferson's words, he who sacrifices liberty for security shall wind up with neither. Yeah, fortuitous saying, is it not? We have Zeke Emanuel. This is the guy, I can't even stand looking at this guy, but this was like one of the chief architects, along with, I think his name was Graeber, who admitted that it was all set up as a ruse not to work. It was, you know, they lied to the American people, and he was proud of it. But Zeke Emanuel is this nasty, repugnant, whiny, progressive turd that worked for Obama. And, you know, he, with his usual pompous, elitist attitude. And so he's on TV all over the place saying, oh, we have to, there's just no choice. If we're going to save lives, we have to stay shut down for 18 months. Yeah, okay, right, you bet. Then we have, wow, okay. Okay, Zeke, you bet. And then we have Fauci, right? We've talked about Fauci. We're going to talk more about him. In fact, you're going to listen to some stuff that will just raise your hair. And we have his number two in the NIH, Corbett. I told you about her. You know, everything is the white man's fault, and if the white man built it, it needs to be torn down. This is the gal who's in charge of finding a vaccine to save this racist country. Wow. And then we have Dr. Birx. She's tied into the cabal, too, although I think her heart may be in the right place. There was a really interesting, and I didn't have the producers posted. I may next week. There was a really interesting interview of her by one of the TV stations, one of the big networks. And she's talking to about, and she slips, and she goes, and so Gates, I mean, the United States government, and it was like, I replayed it four times. So, you know, her whole thing, she used Gates's name in terms of recommendations and then quickly corrected to the United States government. It was very telling. It was very telling. She has stuck up for President Trump, however, on the incessant beat up he has experienced for his disinfectant and ultraviolet comments. Which obviously were taken out of, they weren't taken out of context, but they were entirely misconstrued. I mean, obviously, nobody is telling you to drink disinfectant. But I might add that the ultraviolet thing, like 2 days later, here comes this research, and the ultraviolet thing actually exists. And you can actually use it, and it actually works. It's pretty amazing. Then we have, the Nevada governor trying to keep Las Vegas shut down. And implementing, strict lockdowns. Can't leave your house and you'd be arrested and all this nonsense. Then you have the New Jersey governor. And I think, his interview is now famous with Tucker Carlson. Oh, I didn't think about the Bill of Rights. Really? You didn't think about the Bill of Rights? Great. What about that oath you took, to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign or domestic? Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it. Now we have the Maine governor, okay? Another Democrat. It's all Democrats. It's all left-wing stuff. And we have another Democratic governor now in Maine flexing her totalitarian muscles. Now, she has just extended the lockdown in Maine, and they're going nuts up there. We're going to talk about that, too, the resistance that's rising up, the rebellion. She's extended it by 30 days, folks, because she's saving lives. Your safety comes first. There's 1.3 million people in Maine. On the day she extended the lockdown, they had suffered 55 deaths, and there were 33 COVID patients in Maine hospitals. Okay, yeah, right. I wonder how many people were in Maine hospitals for flu, the common cold, appendicitis, tonsils, whatever. Well, they weren't because everything's shut down. It's non-essential. And by the way, it is buckling our healthcare system. There are hospitals on the verge of closing. Rural hospitals are particularly hard hit because of this prohibition against quote-unquote elective services. What is an elective service? If you can't walk, it's elective that you get your knee fixed. If you're in insufferable pain, it's essential. It's non-essential that you get your back fixed to get out of pain. Your gallbladder ruptures, but it's non-essential. Really? Wow. Just to give you some scary numbers, more than 100,000 healthcare workers, this is nurses and doctors included, have been laid off around the United States. They expect, unless this thing gets turned around very quickly and gets opened up for elective processes, the normal business of hospitals. And by the way, some of these hospitals have never even seen a COVID patient. But they're expecting 800,000 jobs to be lost in that sector. And, you know, it takes kind of some time to gear that back up. This is one-third of the U.S. economy. Healthcare is one-third of the U.S. economy. And all these people know it, and it's intentional. In California, Gavin, baby, this is after he announces his $1 billion deal with a Chinese company to buy face masks at $2, 500, was it 500 million? Yeah, 500 million face masks at $2 each from a Chinese company who has never made them before. I believe they're an automotive maker, or they're some kind of machinery maker. And they're going to retool their plants, and they're going to make all these face masks. We already know the stories of all the defective stuff being sent by China all across the globe, including to Italy, where China is directly responsible for tens of thousands of deaths and hundreds of thousands of infectations. He didn't give it to an American company, you notice. I mean, unbelievable. And then he got on his high horse because a bunch of folks went out to the beaches after they were opened, particularly in Orange County. Now, Orange County is a Republican stronghold in California. That's where seven congressional seats got stolen from us by ballot harvesting, mail-in, same-day register, all this crap. I told you at that time, you go back and listen to my shows after the 2018 election, the first couple of weeks, and I told you that was their practice run. It was their dry run, and it was wildly successful. All seven Republican seats flipped. All seven Republicans were winning their election on election night. And all seven lost miraculously by a quarter of a percent or a half a percent. And that was their dry run. And now this is something that they're trying to get in as a national policy. The hell with states' rights. The hell with the 10th Amendment. The hell with the First Amendment. The Fourth Amendment. The Second Amendment. Whatever. Anyway, he has now issued an order that Orange County beaches will be shut down again for 30 days or 15. It doesn't really matter, because he didn't like how many people were there, and he thought they weren't observing the social distance. And he's concerned about the safety. He wants to save lives. Well, guess what? The sheriff of Orange County said, yeah, I'm not going to enforce that. You're full of crap, man. We're not doing it. And there's all sorts of demonstrations going on in California and elsewhere. We're going to talk about those very quickly. Then we have, Then we have New Mexico, another Democratic governor. And New Mexico has been on kind of partial lockdown, not full lockdown, but she's refused to allow gun stores to open, despite the fact that there is a federal edict. You know, I love the way these guys, the government should close down the entire country. Well, maybe we should have that power. And then, on the other hand, the federal government is responsible for this, that, and the other, and they need to get us this, and they need to get us this money, and we're relying on them, and blah, 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 blah. So the federal government says gun stores are essential. I mean, it's an executive order from Trump. New Mexico, they don't care. We're ignoring that. Gun stores are closed. Clinton. Oh, yes. Hillary. Another gift that keeps on giving. She actually said, you can't make this stuff up. On an interview on national TV, never let a crisis, she said it, never let a crisis go to waste. This should be the genesis. This should be the catalyst for finally getting universal health care. Really? Is that why they're having all the hospitals go under? Because then only the government can resurrect them, and then we have universal health care? I mean, think about it. Then we have Jerry Brown, the former moronic governor of California. I quote, Trump is sabotaging the world order, unquote. Does that kind of tell you where these guys are at? Then we have Pelosi, right? drawing her fat $225,000, whatever she gets as a Speaker of the House, and flying her private jet and living in her multi-million-dollar mansion, eating $13 pint ice cream in front of her $24,000 refrigerator. Oh, no, we can't come back May 4th. I mean, they've been out, folks, for like 4 or 5 weeks now. We can't come back May 4th. It's just not safe. The science says it's not safe. Well, hey, Nancy, how about you and your whole little clan up there? How about you just not take a paycheck? How about that? We'll see if that motivates you or not. In your case, it won't, because you've already stolen $25 million from the American people. You got a huge net worth. And then we have Feinstein. Ah, yeah, Barbara, another California gem. She said, this is not a paid vacation. Okay, Diane, but we should not reopen the Senate because it's just not safe. Yeah, but approving federal judges might have nothing to do with that. I mean, if the Senate isn't convened, then you can't get Trump judges approved, right? You're going to run out the clock on the election. And other legislation, of course, you know, that might be, should we say detrimental to the progressive cause? And don't forget the investigations by the various Senate committees into what is now blossoming from a huge scandal to a unbelievable scandal around Flynn, Russiagate, Obama, the whole nine yards. You know, those committees can't meet. They can't subpoena people. They can't have their hearings. Oh, so convenient. And, of course, Joe Biden can hide. He can't put two sentences together. He can't even remember the name of the Bill of Rights, for God's sakes. I mean, it's, wow, unbelievable. In Illinois, Pritzker, I mean, that, first of all, he is a tub of a human. He looks like a mafia man, and he is. So he has locked down Illinois, and everybody's going nuts there, and he's extended that lockdown order. Do you see a common pattern here? Not to mention that everything outside of Chicago is like dandy. No attempt whatsoever at trying to open up parts of the state that could be opened up. Just lock it all down. By the way, he forbid, in fact, you can get arrested, all non-essential travel. Do you know what he did like 3 days after that? Oh, yeah. He shipped his whole family down to Florida so they'd be safe and in the sun, because, you know, the sun is good for COVID. Once again, folks, you can't make this up. These elitists think that their poop doesn't stink. Okay? We're the little people. They hate us. They couldn't care less about us. And they think that they are above the law. And they're not. They're not. Then we have Obama. Oh, yeah, our buddy Obama. So Obama, you know, Washington, D.C. is shut down. All the golf courses are closed. He's a member of a hoity-toity club. I guess he picked up the phone, and he and his little motorcade with the Secret Service that we're unfortunately paying for him, trundle out to the golf course, and here's Obama playing golf. Basically has the whole course to himself. And whatever buddy he decided to bring along. And I don't think they were wearing masks and they weren't keeping their 6 feet and all that kind of stuff. 2 days later, 2 days after Barry Obama breaks quarantine, commandeers a golf course for himself, hauls, you know, his entourage of 30 people around the city, Michelle Obama does a robocall for Pritzker, the same guy who shipped his family down to Florida, saying, you know, this is about safety, and this is about saving your life, and this is about protecting the most vulnerable, you know, the whole litany of crap that the globalists and the communist Democrats use. And you need to stay inside. You need to follow the edicts. 2 days before, her friggin' husband was breaking every edict and playing mystery lead. I mean, who do these people think they are? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then we have the Chicago mayor. I'm kind of picking on Illinois this evening. Sorry, Sorry, all you listeners in Illinois, although you probably agree. The Chicago mayor, you know, we'll arrest you if you leave your house, and, you know, you can't do this, and salons are shut down, and blah, 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 blah. Well, gee, she gets caught. In fact, the hairdresser turned her in. I think it's just great. She gets caught having a hairdresser open up a salon just for her, so she can get her manicure and her pedicure and her haircut. And when she's caught on it, she has the audacity to say, well, I'm the face of the city, so I have to be taken care of. I have to look good so that we can promote the image of the city. I mean, let's bring that one step further. What she really said in those words, and by her actions, her acts, her lack of acts, and her words, was, I'm way better than you. I can decide for myself what to do. And since I'm way better than you, I can decide anything I want. But you lowly peasants, you must listen to me. That's what she really said. And then we have Warren. Elizabeth Warren. Wow. Elizabeth Warren now has a plan. You'll love this. Of course, I don't know how they're going to do it with the Senate not in session. No business, you'll love this, no business with more than $1 billion in revenue would be permitted to legally operate without permission from the federal government. I'm not making this up, folks. I'm reading it. The federal government would then dictate to these businesses the composition of their boards, the details of internal corporate governance, compensation practices, personnel policies, and et cetera, et cetera. Eric Holder, oh, what a gem he is. Eric Holder, he's giddy about the, quote, opportunity coronavirus presents to make permanent changes, unquote. Yeah. Well, so, his focus is on coronavirus making changes to the electoral system permanently, yes. And as you know, he's been active in that since Barry Obama, thankfully, exited the Oval Office, although he left lots of corruption behind him, which we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning. Okay. Then we have a deep state VA quote-unquote research study. Here's the headline. The use of hydroxychloroquine shows no benefit for treating coronavirus patients. And they published a study. This is just in the last week or so. And what they didn't tell you is it was a very selected sample of patients in a VA rest home. And the patients that they gave hydroxychloroquine to were comprised, there were several subgroups, but the two main groups were people who had known problems, known physical comorbidity with coronavirus, like diabetes, etc., and known persons who had certain, and listen, I'm not a doctor, but there's certain things, if you have a heart arrhythmia, if you have certain things going on with your circulation system, where hydroxychloroquine can't be used. I mean, it's like any drug. Not every drug can be used by every person. And they administered the drug to those people. And the third group, or the second group, was folks who were already on ventilators. All the research from around the world, folks, shows that hydroxychloroquine is probably an excellent prophylactic, i.e. a preventative to ever getting COVID. And if administered early, it is 98.5% or 6% effective, with virtually no side effects. Well, in this case, the study concluded that more people died from the administration of hydroxychloroquine than were saved. Well, yeah, because you picked your targets. I want you to understand that the deep state morons who did this study were willing to kill, literally, kill older vets to make a political point and to try and keep this country shut down. This is how important it is to him. And this is how little they regard, in what little regard they hold us. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let me read you part of this because it's worth taking a few minutes. Oh, and by the way, this VA group was from the NIH. Who runs the NIH? Oh, yes, Fauci. And what has Fauci's opinion been of hydroxychloroquine? Never mind all the evidence from New York, California, Israel, India, you name it. Oh, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's going to work and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I really wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, when there's a therapeutic drug out there, folks, that works, then this is kind of like, unless you unfortunately have a comorbidity with it, this is kind of like the flu, right? Instead of Theraflu, you take hydroxychloroquine. I mean, I'm simplifying things, but I'm trying to give you an analogy. Excuse me. And the NIH, here's what, here was the NIH study. This is the NIH run by Fauci, whose second in command is Corbett, who, shall we say, hates America. How's that? Quote, an association of increased overall mortality was identified in patients treated with hydroxychloroquine alone. It's called, by the way, if you'd like to look it up, Therapeutic Options for COVID-19 Currently Under Investigation. Yeah. The panel of NIH experts recommended against the use of the combination of hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pax, azithromycin, because of the potential for toxicities. Well, gee, when you choose people who are going to die when you administer that drug because of their physical composition, you're probably going to get bad results. This was on purpose. And of course, the minute the study came up, all staged, all lined up, here come the Democrats. Let me give you an example. Congressman Bill Pascrell, who is, well, he's just one level of moderate above AOC, which is not much, said, I quote, the report analyzing hydroxychloroquine as a potential COVID-19 treatment at veterans hospitals is a bombshell indictment of the damage Trump and his administration does to Americans by putting politics before science. Quote, Trump's frequent touting of this treatment was deeply irresponsible and may have heaped unnecessary pain and suffering, not to mention false hope, upon Americans struck by this terrible illness. Unquote. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. In the meantime, folks, back at the ranch, I mean, I can go on and on with this stuff. Maybe I'll give you one. Nah, you got enough. You got the idea. Here's the reality. Hydroxychloroquine does work if used early, if used with the right patient, and if used in the prescribed dosages. And there are now countless studies, tens of thousands of patients, where this has been borne out. Not older patients on respirators who have pulmonary problems. You know, wow. I mean, just amazing. Just amazing. That's number one. Number two, this shutdown should have never have happened. I mean, Fauci and his crew bamboozled us. And they bamboozled Trump, who's not a doctor. I mean, when they told him there's going to be 2.2 million people dead, I mean, I'm sure the guy had a heart attack. He cares about America and Americans, unlike these people. And they've given us five models that are faulty. They've downplayed this hydroxychloroquine despite studies from around the planet. Let me give you an example. India. You think you can find this anywhere in the press of the United States? The Indian National Health Ministry not only recommends but mandates. This is a country of 1.4 billion, 1.6 billion. Mandates the use of hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic in all Indian healthcare workers right now. They mandate the use of hydroxychloroquine in early stage COVID patients. Gee, I guess it doesn't work. And India, by the way, although they've taken some steps, they have not locked down anything. First of all, you couldn't lock down India. And secondly, they haven't done it. And in 1.6 billion crowded people, they're doing quite well, thank you. Way better than New York or Washington or Illinois. And then we have Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. She's terrific. She's a hero. She's a rock star. Wait, you're going to see big things from her in the future. So, I mean, she's very, very presentable, knows her stuff, speaks well, attractive person, and courageous, and a huge believer in the Constitution. You're going to see big things from her. You're hearing that projection right now. She never shut down South Dakota. They're kicking butt up there. Wyoming and six other states, by the way, who never did lockdowns, said, we trust you, this is what you need to do. We trust you guys to do it. You're our citizens. You know the code of the West. Do it. I mean, the only thing Wyoming did was basically shut down health clubs, restaurants, and movie, just places of mass gathering, close contact, which are now being reopened, in fact, as of today. Wyoming has like 415 cases. South Dakota, with twice the population, I believe has right around 1,800 cases. I mean, yeah. And then we have Israel. Now, Israel did do a lockdown. They're high on hydroxychloroquine. They've kept their cases to a bare minimum, their deaths to a bare minimum. Sweden. Sweden said, we're not locking down. Here's what you need to do. And they gave the people the list. It was kind of like the Republican governors of these eight Western and Midwestern states that said, here's what you need to do. We trust you to do it. We're not going to order you to do it. We're not going to order you to stay in your houses. The only things you can't do is you can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to a movie theater. You can't go to a health club. Other than that, go for it. We don't recommend that you run around in crowds. We recommend they did the whole nine yards. Wyoming right now has 415 COVID cases. I believe, I could be one off, that there's been seven or eight deaths, and more than half of those came from one unfortunate nursing home over in Lander. Sweden has stayed completely open. We're talking restaurant, you name it. You can go to a restaurant, you can do, life is virtually normal, 96% normal in Sweden. They have never shut down. And everybody was on them, oh, you're going to kill your population, it's not safe, and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? First of all, they've now developed herd immunity, so they are definitely over the hump. Okay, as we all come out of quote-unquote lockdowns, people don't have the virus, they're going to get it. This virus is not going to go away, folks. It's here forever. Forever. So let's get on with the rest of life here. But Sweden has 225 deaths per million. And by the way, Sweden is a relatively crowded country. The USA, with all its lockdown nonsense, has 175 deaths per million. 50 deaths per million. 50 people per million more died in Sweden with no lockdown than have died in the United States under this purposeful imbecility that's been going on. And then we have, we have Florida. Everybody was on Ron DeSantis down there. Well, guess what? Ron DeSantis played it just right. And that state is opening up. And it was never really shut down. It was one of those, once again, Republican, conservative. It was one of those states that said, we trust our people. The only counties that got locked down were blue counties where people were doing their crazy stuff. Broward County and Miami-Dade. And they were shut down by the county supervisors. You remember those two, you know, the voter fraud and the miscounting of ballots and the found ballots and the, all the other stuff that went on. Yeah, gee. You think there's any link? And then, of course, we have then we have China. So China, first of all, what you don't know, and I'm going to be talking about it more next week, but there was either a mole within the CIA or the FBI. I personally think it could have been John Brennan. I mean, I think he detests the United States that much. But there was a mole, either there was a mole or China somehow broke the code that Washington used to contact their espionage agents, their spies in China. And literally, it was probably 2012, 2010 through 2013. Gee, Barry Obama's watch. Imagine that. John Brennan, CIA director. Oh, God. Amazing. They wiped out all our spies. They tracked them all down, or literally all of them, and they either disappeared or they were executed, which meant that we don't have the greatest source of intelligence, folks. You can have satellites, and you can have infrared, and you can have all this stuff. There is no substitute for intelligence, for human intelligence, for somebody seeing something, knowing the feel, getting the gist, and communicating it. That is the end-all, be-all of intelligence gathering. And all of our intelligence assets were wiped out. Now, do you think China, was doing that so, number one, we wouldn't see the rise and consolidation of power by President Xi and the Communist Party? Do you think they were doing that so that we wouldn't know till it was too late that Google was in there helping them basically chip all the phones so that they knew where every one of their citizens were before they shipped them off to a gulag? Or do you think they were doing it because, they planned to release this virus and they didn't want anybody to have a head start on it? They wanted to catch the world by surprise, which they certainly did. No thanks to Mr. Fauci, who funded the lab that it came from for $3.7 million along with Obama, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm going to step back from this Chinese thing because the Chinese thing is in concert with a globalist thing. I've talked about this. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I mean, if the globalists think they're going to survive Chinese domination of the world, they are sadly mistaken. But one of the things I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play for you. Incredible. I want you to listen to it carefully. You may want to listen to it again, which is easy to do. It's not easy to do if you're on AM, but it's easy to do on podcast or the website on therightsideradio.com. And I want you just to listen to this, if you would. Let me get the volume up so that you can really hear it. And here we go.
We have so much to do to protect the health and the welfare of the American people that I would just hope we just put those conspiracy stuff and let somebody write a book about it later on, but not now.
Anthony Fauci does not like conspiracy theories. And if the president does not fire several members of his COVID-19 response team, the books written in the future will likely be about the Bill Gates Big Pharma takeover of America. Dr. Fauci is on the leadership council for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Deborah Birx is a board member for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Robert Redfield, current director of the CDC, was a founder of the Institute of Human Virology, who has received $31.8 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Seema Verna has worked with Sue Desmond Hellman, Chief Executive Officer of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Alex Azar was president of Eli Lilly's U.S. division. Under his leadership, prices for the company's top-selling insulin drug tripled, which led to a class-action lawsuit. Jerome Adams received a medical scholarship from Eli Lilly. Stephen Hahn is commissioner for the FDA, who partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates in 2017. Stephen Mnuchin was a member of Skull and Bones at Yale University, and he partnered with George Soros to create SFM Capital Management. Brett Giroir was the director of DARPA. And CDC official Dr. Nancy Messonnier is Rod Rosenstein's sister. Many have been concerned that President Trump has been surrounded by deep state operatives for the past 3 years. Well, now he seems to be completely surrounded by Big Pharma and Bill Gates loyalists, all pushing vaccines as the solution and admitting that they might make things worse.
Does the vaccine make you worse? And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection.
Anyway, I hope you folks got that. It's rather remarkable. And it goes on, but you got the gist. So we are facing a cabal here of China. You know, China's come out with this new propaganda wave. I've been watching all the comments, for instance, like on HuffPo, which is just an atrocious leftist rag of an internet news source. And I've been watching all the comments, and you can tell who the Chinese trolls are, because there's over 50,000 Chinese trolls that the Red Chinese now have circulating rumors on social media and elsewhere throughout the United States to influence the election, influence perception about China, influence blame for the virus, etc., etc., and to condemn Trump. You know, I've seen probably 1,000 times this week people going, well, Trump was playing golf, and so we lost 50 days. Well, that's all stuff that was planted by Chinese disinformation agents, folks. I'm not making this up. This is the facts. They kind of followed the Russian model. And sure enough, 3 days ago, the Chinese foreign minister goes on like four or five channels. I think the first one to carry it was NBC, gee, big surprise, and talks about how China has done a wonderful job. They shared everything that they knew as soon as they knew it. They haven't concealed anything. And this is Trump's fault because, gee, exactly the stuff you're seeing on social media. Because Trump wasted a precious 50 days before he reacted to the virus, which China had so beneficially and as the benefactor of the world that it is, disclosed. Do you understand how this game is being played? And it's high-stakes poker. This is about the planet and which way the planet is going to go, folks. This is a big deal. There is no tomorrow on this particular deal. And China's been doing other things. I mean, they wiped out all our spies so that we were blind. Now they're playing their propaganda game on all sorts of levels, using, by the way, not only covert operatives, you know, Chinese trolls, but listen, I'm going to read you the headline. Facebook fact checker exposed as communist liar who worked at Wuhan Biolab where coronavirus may have escaped. Do you want me to read that to you again? The fact checker that Facebook had in place checking the facts, and by the way, there's no such thing as facts at Facebook, it's ideology, but checking the, shall we say, the bent of the information, was a Chinese agent who had worked as a communist at the Wuhan Biolab. Her name is Anderson, by the way. Let me read you a paragraph. A contributor to Science Feedback. Anderson's job as a Facebook fact checker involves slapping, quote, false information, unquote, designations on any and all content that links the Wuhan coronavirus to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Anderson has also been exposed for engaging in no fewer than 9 collaborations with Dr. Peng Zhu, who's also a fellow scientist from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and who also experimented with coronavirus and bats. Do you understand how deep a scheme this is? This is like they're throwing the kitchen sink at it, folks. They're throwing the kitchen sink at your rights. They're throwing the kitchen sink at the Constitution. China is throwing the kitchen sink at America as an entity, as a country. Democratic communist politicians are throwing the kitchen sink at your right to live freely. This is an all-out, last-ditch attempt to continue and enhance and accelerate the globalist path and get rid of Trump and populist nationalism. And the same thing is happening in other countries like Britain and Spain. Wherever you have seen populist nationalism, the same set of circumstances are playing out, although obviously not covered by our press. This is a global full-court press. Remember our story about the Pony Express. Okay? We're the Pony Express, folks, and it's our job to make sure that we survive, not fold in 18 months. And that's up to each and every one of us. You need to call out disinformation whenever you can. You need to clamor to your congressman. I told you I was going to talk about this last week. And I don't mean just hold China accountable. We need to make sure that the Chinese cannot purchase any American assets whatsoever from here on in. Because that would be just like them to use the money that we've given them over the last 20 years under Obama, Bush, and Clinton to purchase our assets while we're down in the jaw from a virus punch they delivered. Congress needs to step up if they ever get back to friggin' work. They need to step up and they need to pass a law that removes immunity so that all the lawsuits that are being filed by states and individuals and organizations against China can proceed. We need to put a freeze on every Chinese-owned asset in the United States. I don't care if it's a railroad, a toll road, the 2 ports on the West Coast, the port in Texas. How about the 3 meat plants, which, gee, coincidentally, shut down a week ago, owned by the Chinese, including the big Smithfield plant in South Dakota, which the press immediately jumped on. Food shortage. Not only are you going to die of the virus, but you're going to starve to death. But we're here to save you, to keep you safe. Look, you need to start beating the drums. You need to start beating the drums for your rights. You need to start beating the drums against this outrageous and unnecessary lust for control and power which is being exhibited by the various people in your state. Sometimes it's a county level, sometimes it's a city, sometimes it's the state. And to a lesser degree, since Trump is allowing the 10th Amendment to the Constitution to play out, the federal government. You need to call out Chinese trolls if you see them making comments online. You need to ramp up. You need to start sending money to conservative candidates. The election is 180 days away. You need to start beating the drums, folks. You need to start marching. You know, my hat's off to all the demonstrations that are going on. I mean, I wish there were 10 times more people in Michigan, in California, in Washington, which is supposed to be a big one coming up, in Maine, in New York, in California. People are saying, I'm done. I've had it, and I'm not going to take any more. And that is one of the silver linings that's going to come out of this. People are going to understand the rights they almost lost. And let me emphasize that. They almost lost. To keep that word almost in the equation is going to take you and me and everybody you could talk to and influence. And it's going to take us raising hell. Because we're Americans and we always win. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Next week, we're going to talk about Flynn and Ray. I told you 2 years ago Ray was no friggin' good. And here we have, let me give you a little tidbit for next week, along with the other things we're going to talk about, the potential of a hot war with China. Ray has been delaying documents. You wonder why it's taking so long for all these documents to come out, these notes throwing Flynn under the bus, this conspiracy stuff out of the Obama Oval Office. Well, who was the prosecutor on the Mueller squad? All these attorneys need to go to jail too. Weissman. Probably the scummiest, most underhanded, dirty, low-down, nasty friggin' prosecutor to ever walk the face of America. He hid all this stuff. He hid it. And Ray has helped him hide it. The director of the FBI who was unfortunately appointed by Trump and succeeded Comey. And guess what's come to light? This is kind of like what I just played for you, because it's the same thing in the Department of Justice, the State Department, and the CIA. Andrew Weissman was Ray's protege. Ray greased the skids for this scumbag federal prosecutor whose decisions was thrown. He got people killed and the courts reversed it. He was slapped down, I think, one time 8-1 and the other time 9-0 in the United States Supreme Court for withholding information, for being dishonest in his prosecution. He caused the bankruptcy and the loss of tens of thousands of jobs by Arthur Andersen, the big CPA firm, one of the big 8 accounting firms. We're going to be talking about that next week, too. In the meantime, it's up to us, folks. This is our moment. There is no tomorrow. Stand up. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.